with you to put that by there because I've got nowhere to hang it. As Chris just said, we thought we'd finish with James. Well, obviously that reading, you most probably think it looks familiar. It is familiar because 5 weeks ago, Chris preached on it and he preached on patience. So I won't apologize tonight because when we were on holiday, I was going over so many different things in my mind about what to talk about. And that was the one thing that really hit me, was to talk about patience. And ever since, my patience has been tested, I can tell you. I'm going to tell you a story. You may have heard this before, so I don't make any apologies because it's quite a good little story to start with. It just says, as a young dad pushed his son's pushchair down the street, the youngster howled in rage with displeasure. Please, Bernard, control yourself. Easy there, Bernard. Keep calm. Everything will be all right. The father kept saying quietly. Congratulations, sir, said a woman who'd been watching. You know just how to speak to a child. Calmly, gently, and with great patience. Then she added, did you name the little Bernard after a family member? I really like that name. No, you don't understand, the father said. My son's name is Jeffrey. I am Bernard. Quite an apt little story, I thought. I'm sure all of us at one time or another have had to talk to ourselves about being patient. I know I have, especially these last couple of weeks. I have found myself getting more and more impatient with every day. While we're on holiday at the airport, waiting for bags, waiting for cups of coffee, and it just goes on. And even up to today, just waiting. And I found myself praying more and more for God to grant me patience, because it's not something I've ever really thought a great deal about. The Bible certainly has a lot to say about it. There are many references that talk about waiting, and there are over 30 verses that speak specifically about being patient. We know that patience is a virtue. Yet, because of our hurried up society, many of us are like the lady who prayed, Lord, I know I'm always in a hurry, so I need patience, and I need it now. Well, James emphasizes this virtue. We certainly understand that patience is needed in our daily tasks, our relationships. But here in this passage, James zooms in on an area that applies to each one of us. He says we must develop it in order for us to get through hard and trying times. Certainly, one of the most challenging times to exercise patience when life hands out unjust, unfair or undeserved treatment to us. I'm sure in this room tonight there are probably people who've experienced these times, people who have suffered physically or who are living under great stress. Well, God, through James, wants to help us by teaching us how to react to suffering. So let's carefully study what James has to say, because if you're not going through some kind of suffering right now, I'm sure that we all do at some time, and we all can use godly advice on how best to handle it. Firstly, James explains patience by telling us to do a very difficult thing in the face of trying times. He tells us that we must wait. Dear brothers and sisters, you must be patient as you wait. Patience in this context is simply the ability to stay steadfast under trial. Now, we need to admit that we have a difficult time being patient under ordinary circumstances. Waiting has probably always been a difficult virtue to master, but it is particularly hard in today's society. We live in a rapid-paced culture. We have fax machines, microwaves, mobile phones, the internet. We are a fidgety people, and it's very difficult for us to be patient anytime. So it is no wonder that it's near impossible for us to demonstrate patience when we are suffering. Even our pain medicines promised us fast, fast relief, and the various companies vie for who can relieve you the fastest. So when we are ill, emotionally distressed, or under financial pressure, we want a remedy in a hurry. But James says, be patient, endure, persevere. There are going to be times when there will be little we can do except wait. Now, it's a little thing to have to wait for a meal when you're hungry, but it's a whole different matter when James tells us to exercise patience, even in times of severe stress and affliction. But James adds this encouragement at the end of verse 7. Be patient as you wait, for the Lord's coming. That's hard, but James has given us a timeless truth. Good things come with some waiting, and the best thing ever will be the reward that Jesus brings to those who have a relationship with him. Let's just say that if you were, this is especially the ladies, I'm not putting any men out, if you do bake, I'm sorry. But let's just say that if you're baking a chocolate cake with your grandchildren or your children for the first time, you might begin by sifting the flour. Oh, they say, that's dry and it looks yucky. You say, just wait. Then you put in some baking soda, milk. The batter looks really uninviting now. I'm not going to eat that, your child says. Be patient, you tell them. Then you put in a raw egg. That's gross, they yell. You smile and once again say, just you wait, you'll see. Because you know how surprised they're going to be when later, after all the ingredients are in and the mix is baked in the oven, that they'll taste a delicious chocolate cake. Spiritual lesson is obvious, isn't it? Often in life we encounter dry stretches, which are tasteless as flour. We also meet with sour experiences, like the milk, and even some raw dealings in life, like the egg. But after we have gone through the oven of affliction, many times something beautiful in our character, in our inner soul, is the result. And James says, even if the result isn't beautiful here, you wait for the ultimate, gorgeous ending, the Lord's return. You wait until you taste heaven. I'm sure that we won't be in heaven for 2 seconds before we realize that everything we've gone through has been worthwhile and worth the wait. And he repeats the same encouragement in verse 8. Be patient, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now we know, don't we, that the Lord is always near. In the Bible it says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call upon him while he is near. In Ephesians 2 it tells us, you were once far away from God. Now you have been brought very near to him because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. But here James is referring to the literal return, the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are many times in the New Testament promises us that there will be a moment in history when Jesus Christ will come back to the earth. And when he comes, he will make all things right. No more sorrow, no more war, no more suffering. You see, Jesus' return is a source of comfort and stimulates us to be patient, because one day, all the bad things that we experience in this life will be gone. Now, James also gives a couple of clues how we can tell when we are not practicing patience. Here are a couple of signs that James says that we're chafing under the difficulties of life. Verse 9, grumbling. Don't grumble about each other, or God will judge you. When we are suffering, there's a natural inclination to grumble and attack others. Why didn't the doctors diagnose things sooner? Why did God allow this to happen? James says grumbling is a telltale sign that we're not practicing patience. And God considers grumbling or complaining a very serious sin, because it is an indication that you really don't trust him. Our impatience is an indication that we really don't believe that he's going to care for each one of us, and that he's going to provide what is ultimately the best for us. That's why the Bible says, do everything without complaining or grumbling. God is trying to instill within us a spirit of gratitude, not of grumbling. Now, another indication of impatience is swearing. Look at verse 12. Most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned for it. Throughout this little letter, James a couple of times said, control your tongue. There's a direct connection between our tongue and our heart. But James is not stressing the absence of profanity here. He is cautioning about oath-taking. He is saying that in our impatience, sometimes we can use something sacred for the purpose of supporting what we're saying. We've heard it, haven't we? I'll swear to God I'll never do it again. Or I swear on a stack of Bibles that I was there. Or I swear on my mother's grave that I didn't say that. We are simply to say, I'll never do it again. I didn't say that. Simply put, it means that we must mean what we say. And then I think too that James is referring to the fact that sometimes we think we can make promises hold more weight by oath-taking. Have you ever heard someone who's going through a tough time say things like, I swore to God that if he'd heal me, then I would go back to church. Or if God brought me through this or through that, then I'd stop doing this or I'd stop doing that. James says to us, don't do that. James is simply asking us to, instead of showing impatience that brings hasty and reckless promises, to simply say, God, even if things don't work out like I want them, still I'm going to trust you. I know that you are able to handle anything. In other words, just be so credible in your speech, even when you're under stress, that you don't grumble, swear, and lash out. Now, in this passage, James, there are three positive examples of patience. And there are three lessons from these examples that I think that we can apply to our lives. The first is the faithful farmer. Consider the farmers who eagerly look for the rain in the fall and in the spring. They patiently wait for the precious harvest to ripen, don't they? Because they were not ready to be picked. But I do know that if you're going to be a farmer, then you definitely can't be impatient. The farmer has to be patient. He plants the seed, but depends on the rains to mature the crop that he has planted. And the point here is that the farmer has no control over the rain. And there are a whole lot of circumstances in our lives that are beyond our control. And there is nothing that we can do about them. The farmer can't count on the rain. He can only hope for it. And that's the same with us sometimes. There are times when things happen in this world that we can't control. It's no one's fault. It's just the imperfect life. And there's no use worrying. There's no use grumbling. There's no use swearing. And there's no use making life miserable for all those that are around us. All we can do is wait. But we can also place our trust in God to take care of it. God can use all things to our benefit if we will allow him to. We can also have joy with our troubles, because we know that these troubles produce patience. And patience produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope in God will never disappoint us, because God has poured out his love to fill each of our hearts. Love, as we know, is patient. That includes being patient with God, even during those times when we're going through difficulty, because we understand he wants the ultimate best for each one of us. Some suffering, as we know, is beyond our control, so we must trust God. But if there are circumstances beyond our control, then we also know that we must turn the matter over to God and that he will take care of it. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous." Yes, we know, don't we, that we must wait patiently for the Lord. Sometimes we know that life deals us blows, where we have to be brave and we have to be courageous. But in those times, who are we going to trust? We can't trust ourselves, and we can't trust this world's solutions. James says, "They patiently wait for the precious harvest to ripen. The farmer knows there are circumstances beyond his control, so he patiently waits and trusts the Lord." And that's what each of us must do. The second example that James gives is the Old Testament prophets. For examples of patience in suffering, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, the prophets were God's spokesmen, the preachers of that day, but they were not exempt from hurting. In fact, the Bible tells us they were right in the middle of it. The prophet Ezekiel's wife died on the day right before he was to deliver an important message. Daniel, a young Jew, was taken into a foreign country as a hostage. The prophet Hosea had a wife who was unfaithful. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because his people were so mad at his message to turn from their sin that they beat him up. And so many times when things go wrong and we want to cry out, "God, why is this happening to me? What have I done wrong? Are you punishing me?" These prophets were walking in the will of God, and yet they too suffered. We must keep on praying, even when we are hurting. The Old Testament prophets remained faithful, even though they were persecuted, and James encourages each one of us to do the same. One other example of patience that James gives is of a man named Job. And we've all heard about Job, haven't we? Job is an example of a man who endured patiently. From his experience, we see how the Lord's plan finally ended in good, for he was full of tenderness and mercy. Job's cattle alone were worth a lot of money. And in one day, he lost not only his cattle, but all of his possessions. And then a worse blow came. Job had 10 children, and one day they were feasting in the old son's home, and a windstorm came and killed them all. And then his health broke to the point where he would try to scrape boils off his skin. Anything to get rid of them. But Job stayed faithful. He asked a lot of questions. He wasn't exactly sure what God was doing, but he didn't lose his trust. And through all that suffering, he said things like, "Even if the Lord slay me, still I will trust him." And James says, in the end, God blessed Job. In fact, when you read that story, you see that God gave Job back twice as much as he had before because of his mercy and compassion. You see, all suffering is temporary, and the best, as we know, is yet to come. God has promised that no matter how bad it gets, God has the ultimate reward. James says, "You are blessed if you persevere." You've seen what the Lord did for Job, and he is full of compassion and mercy. The Hebrew writer may have said it best: "Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we are in. God promises that he will reward those who persevere. That's not my promise tonight, but that's his, and we know that we can trust it. So let us just remember, some suffering is beyond our control. We must trust God and just do what we can. All suffering is temporary, and the best is yet to come. When Napoleon of France fought Wellington of England, all England waited patiently for the word of this decisive battle at Waterloo. When the message came to London, it was delayed by the flags on top of Winchester Cathedral. The flags on the cathedral began to spell it out: Wellington defeated. But before the message could be completed, a heavy fog moved in. Gloom filled the hearts of the people as the fragmentary news spread throughout the countryside. But when the mist began to lift, it became evident that the signals of Winchester Cathedral had really spelled out the triumphant message: Wellington defeated the enemy. And when we feel defeated, and when we find ourselves in a fog of growing impatience, I just urge us to look to the clear promises that are here in James, and see how the Lord's plan finally ends in good, for he is full of tenderness and mercy. A wonderful chorus which has always remained with me from when I was very young, and I find it very good at difficult times, which says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Lord, please show me every day, as you're teaching me your way, that you'll do just what you say in your time. Shall we pray? Father God, tonight we come to you and we thank you for your promises. We thank you, Father God, because we know that you have promised to be with us. Father God, we just pray that you help each one of us to be patient and to wait. And Father God, as we've already said, that sometimes in life it's very hard. And sometimes in life it's hard to trust. But Father God, we know that we have a God who loves us. A God who just wants the best for each one of us. And a God that can see the whole picture. So Father God, we just place ourselves in your hands.